Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
You taught me right from wrong. You told me to give to the poor and hungry. I need you to stay strong. You gave the light that I hold beside me. I feel the love when people call out your name. What would I do without you? I feel so ashamed. You kept smiling, you never did complain. In my heart and soul, you will always stay. Muhammad, you. May peace and blessings be upon you, maybe upon you, Muhammad, you. May peace and blessings be upon you, maybe upon you. You taught me right from wrong. You told me to give to the poor and hungry. I need you to stay strong. You gave the light that I hold beside me. I feel the love when people call out your name. What would I do without you? I feel so ashamed. You kept smiling, you never did complain. In my heart and soul, you will always stay. Muhammad, you. Peace and blessings be upon you, maybe upon you, Muhammad, you. May peace and blessings be upon you, maybe upon you.
You taught me right from wrong. You told me to give to the poor and hungry. I need you to stay strong. You gave the light that I hold beside me. I feel the love when people call out your name. What would I do without you? I feel so ashamed. You kept smiling, you never did complain. In my heart and soul, you will always stay. Muhammad, you.
Peace and blessings be upon you, maybe upon you, Muhammad, you. May peace and blessings be upon you, maybe upon you.
You taught me right from wrong. You told me to give to the poor and hungry. I need you to stay strong. You gave the light that I hold beside me. I feel the love when people call out your name. What would I do without you? I feel so ashamed. You kept smiling, you never did complain. In my heart and soul, you will always stay.
Muhammad, you. Peace and blessings be upon you, maybe upon you, Muhammad, you. May peace and blessings be upon you, maybe upon you.
When you feel all alone in this world, and there's nobody to count your tears, just remember no matter where you are, Allah knows. Carrying a monster load, and you wonder
someone. Feel your whole life has barely begun. You can walk on the moon, shout it to everyone. Allah knows.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I am Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, 31st August 2024, corresponding to the 26th Day of Safar, 1446 AH. On Everyday Muslim Show, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Glorious Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارُفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِندَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. It translates into, O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Verily the most honorable. Still listening to Everyday Muslim Show on WFM 91.7. Like I said earlier, I am Abdul Hakim Qasim, and I welcome you again to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show. Inshallah, looking at the Quranic verse that we read, that Quranic verse is Quran chapter 49, verse 13. Today, inshallah, bi qudratillah, we shall be discussing embracing humanity through religion. Embracing humanity through religion. Looking at the Quranic verse we read earlier, from that verse, Quran chapter 49, verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us understand that all of us, we are actually from one source, that is Adam and Hawa. A male and a female are from where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us into nations and tribes. So regardless of your religion, your ethnicity, we are all one before our creator. So we are all human beings, and that humanity is important regardless of our religion. So today, inshallah, we'll be discussing embracing humanity through religion. And our guest today on the program is Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me.
All right. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. For those of us probably who are just meeting Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba for the first time, Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba is a Muslim cleric. He's an imam at Adangba Central Mosque in Idimu, Alemasho Local Government Area of Lagos State. He's a marriage counselor and a public analyst on television and radio. He's a publicity ambassador with the Heavenly World Propagation of Light, HWPL, headquartered in Seoul, South Korea. Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba is a teacher, a father, a husband, a mentor, and many more. He is the founder of an Islamic institution center there in Idimu, where Quran and Islamic legislation is being taught in its adequate form. That's just a summary of who Sheikh Abdurrahman Adangba is. So, Sheikh, you are welcome again to Everyday Muslim Show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh once again.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, to begin with, Ya Sheikh, we're looking at embracing humanity through religion. So the first question I would ask you is, how do different religions define humanity, and what does it mean to embrace humanity through the lens of faith? Because a lot of people might feel that, what exactly are you talking about? Is there anything that faith has to do with humanity? So how do religions perceive humanity, and what does it mean that we are embracing humanity through the lens of faith?
One thing, salam alaikum once again to everybody, and I hope everybody is answered. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala ashraf al-mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad, wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. You see, the topic this morning is a very good topic, a topic that needs to be understood by everyone who is listening, and we will be able, we must be able to interpret it to others or transfer it to others or share it with others after this time out. Before we dabble into what we are going to explain exactly, everybody must understand what is religion. Because Islam, we believe is a religion. Christianity, Judaism, and whatever is what we term as religion. What is religion itself? Religion is a path or a way that Allah has laid down for those who exist during a certain particular time, for them to be able to align with His own rules and regulations, and at the same time benefit each other during that existence. So the essence of religion is realignment. But that realignment has its own rules and regulations, or regimentations, so I call it that way. Regimentation that this is, if you are this, this is the way you must behave. If you are this, this is the way you must act. So that is the religion. Then what is the humanity? Humanity is existence. When they say existence, existence is humanity. When they say humanity, humanity is existence. So when you exist, how do you relate in existence? That is the whole essence of humanity. How do you understand what you should do as a responsibility? And in any responsibility that you give, it means you are giving the other person his own right. And if you exercise a responsibility, you have given the other person his own right. If you exercise his own responsibility too, he has given you your own right. You know, the old sense, in Arabic, we call it muhamala, welfareism. And that is exactly what humanity means. So if you now say religion embraces humanity, or humanity embraces religion, you are virtually saying what is good for the goose must be good for the gander. Or you're virtually saying, when there is a sun, there is a day. And when there is a moon, there is a night. So they are two things. They cannot be taken out of one another. So this we must understand. Then we now come into, what is humanity? Humanity is what the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that man kana yu'min billahi wal yawmil akhir, anybody that believes in the existence or in accountability on the day of judgment, so you should love the other person as you love yourself. You should love the other person as you love yourself. So therefore, what is humanity? Humanity is live and let live. So religion and humanity are virtually the same thing. So if you are a religious person, definitely you must understand what is it about humanity. If you are a humane person, definitely you must understand what are the rules and regulations that guide humanity. And from there, you will see that Allah has already prepared, He has already given, He has already manifested the whole of existence in the religions that is sent through His prophet. That becomes mandatory on you that you must align with a religion. So the problem we have in this part of the world is that a lot of those who call themselves religionists, not spiritualists this time, religionists, don't even understand what religion is meant for. They don't understand what religion is meant for. And what does religion mean? Religion means a path created by the Almighty Allah to make us behave the same way, to make us act the same way, what's an opposite, working together for it all existence. So therefore, if I have my hand and I cannot shake myself perfectly, if I shake you, then your hand means for me, my hand means for you. It is only perfect coming together that will give us that perfect handshaking. So humanity and religion are one but same. But the way to humanity is religion. Way to religion is humanity.
Allah Akbar. So religion is the way to humanity. Humanity is the way to religion. I love that point upon which you actually ended that thought. Now, looking at the fact that people subscribe to different religions, but regardless of those differences, most people share certain fundamental values, such as most religions, share certain fundamental values, such as kindness, charity, and love for one's neighbor. So now, how can recognizing these similarities help us embrace our common humanity, despite the fact that probably you subscribe to different religions?
Yeah, I will let you know. You have to be a part of history now. How do you become a part of history? Simple. Very, very simple. Look at the verse you first read in Quran chapter 49, verse 13. It says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. We have created you for man and woman. Wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. And we have made you into nations and clans, lita'arafu, so that ye may know one another. Then which means knowledge of one another goes a long way in defining who you are. So if you don't know the other person, definitely you are not humane. If the other person does not know you, definitely that person too is not humane. So the only time you can be humane is when you know the other person and the other person knows you. So what are you knowing this time? You should know that it is only when you allow him to exist the best way, it is only that time you are a religionist. Don't take away his freedom from him. As the Holy Prophet Muhammad has said, don't take away his freedom from him. Don't put him into any need that does not need to be, he or she does not need to be in that need if you have not made it impossible for him to dwell with. So if you now want to understand that exactly how do you live, you cannot use one single hand to clap on yourself. You have to get the second hand to clap. And when you clap alone, your clap will not be heard until when you are more than one or two and you clap together. Imagine a trailer that carries a lot of goods broke down on the road and you are the only one at the driver that is going to push it. How do you get that done? You can't get that done except you are many and all of you are pushing together. So in that wise, you can only understand the other person when the other person understands you. Number two, the syndrome of you can't do it alone, you have to do it together with others, is a sacrosanct view that you must uphold. You must uphold that principle that you are going to work with another person. You are going to work with another person to be able to make life. This is the Woman Radio. We are talking to you now, and you are enjoying what we are doing. It is our own saying that you understand in your ears, and it is what your ears are, our own benefit, to explain ourselves to you on the radio that we are doing. So these are the things you must understand, that if you don't give charity, what you have is not useful for you. If the poor is not there, the rich will not be useful. If the rich is not there, the poor will suffer. So, if the man is not there, the woman will suffer. If the woman is not there, the man will suffer. So, you can't leave it alone. Understanding that you have to leave it with somebody is exactly what we are projecting on the Woman Radio now. And this is where we are going. And this is where what we must understand. So, understand that humanity is all about existence. And humanity is all about joining together to do the same thing.
So it's not something that anyone can do alone. You can't do it in isolation. So we have to actually work together. I love that. Now, the world we live today is rapidly changing. It's a very dynamic world. And so in that light, what role should religion play in addressing global challenges like inequality, poverty, and conflict? Because we know that people subscribe to different religions, and a lot of these people that are victims of poverty, of conflict, of inequality, are adherents of religion. So what role should religion play in addressing these global challenges?
You see, the books are all the books of every religion. You know, every religion has a book. The Jews have the Old Testament, which is that's given to Mura, the most by the Torah. Then the Christians have the Bible, which is the gospel in Jew. Then the Jews have another book, which is called the Zebur, and the Muslims have the Quran. All these religions have their own books. Then we should understand that these books are not contradictory to one another. They only complement their own essence. They complement the same job. They do the same job. And that job they do is bringing humans together. They are not in conflict anyhow. They are all telling you about the other person, which is you, and the other person that you live with. So if you want to know that, how do I do all these things? If you are a Christian, it doesn't stop you from being good. If you are a Muslim, it doesn't stop you from being good. If you go to the Bible and you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, you will see that it's talking of good and evil towards man and woman and everybody one towards one another. And the same thing happens in that very verse, you read chapter 49, verse 13. And if you go to chapter 2, verse 195, you still, in Quran, you still have the same thing. So being from any religion does not stop you from understanding that you are created for the other thing. Okay, let me give you a typical example. A Christian, a Muslim, there is not written on their forehead. Being a Christian is not written on their forehead. Being a Muslim is not written on your forehead.
Absolutely.
You don't have a different tongue. Your tongue is always pink. You don't have a different eye. Everybody has the eye in the same place. The same. So you cannot differentiate a Christian from a Muslim on the road because you don't want to go into prejudice. You don't want to help others think. If you call him a Christian because of the name, he can tell you I'm a Muslim. If you call him a Muslim because of the name, he can tell you I'm a Christian. So therefore, faith is a hidden agenda. It only lives within man and God. But man, God has mandated the man to make sure that he should keep his faith for himself and keep his faith for another one, and believing in God that he is the only one that has created every soul with no difference. Going by any path into God, either Judaism, either Christianity, either Islam, does not stop you from being good. Being good is a perpetual thing that a man must have. So, and this is where we are going. So religion has really helped to identify you with the other human being through the books that are sent by the prophets, and these books complement one another. They are not in contradiction at any point. So this is what we are talking about.
So you mean that religions have role to play now in addressing inequality, poverty, and some of these social challenges that people face in today's world?
I can't hear you.
No, I said that. So do you now say that with this now, with what you have just said, so what then should religions do in addressing the issues of inequality, poverty, conflict, and other social vices that, or challenges that people face in the world?
That is so easy. Very easy. How is it easy? You see, men of God are the problem. They don't understand the religion. These are beasts existed. Men of God in all religions, in all the divide, either you are Judaic, either you are a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim, the men of God must have one factor, and that factor is known as versatility. So when we are versatile about the book we are reading, we'll be able to understand from the book that he's talking about the other book. Do you get that? And when you understand your own book, you have to understand the book of the Christians as a Muslim. You have to understand the book of the Jews as a Muslim. The Jews and the Christians must understand the Quran as the book of the Muslim. And all of us are created through all those books to be able to work with another, with one another. So when we have the versatility of what the books are teaching, then we will be able to identify with ourselves that no one is out of God's creation. Everyone is of God's creation, and everyone is of benefit to existence, where the three resources are going to be managed. Because Allah created the three resources. The first resource is the natural resources, the second is the human resources, and the third is the cap of the mineral resources. The natural resources, the sun, the moon, the air, the water, the ocean, the land, everything, the food we get there are natural. They come naturally. God created them. Is there any food that God created for Christians?
No.
That created for Muslims?
No.
Or there any food he created for atheists and even the Jews? No. Every food belongs to every human, and we eat the same thing. So no food comes from the harvest on the farm arrive on its Christian. No food comes from the harvest and arrive on its Muslim. So every food belongs to us. That's number one. Now, petrol is being extracted in Nigeria, and it is for petrol we make money. Is there anything on the petrol that this is the petrol for the Christians? No. Is it on bauxite, on bauxite, on gold, or whatever we have? It belongs to all of us, unbinding any religion that you are following. So it now says, boils down to the fact that, okay, in everything that we get, if there is going to be equity in the division of what inherited from God, that what are bequeathed to us for existence, then where should we have it to say, this one does not belong to my religion, so it's not going to have this benefit. So anybody that does that is not doing it justifiably by the cause of Allah. It is personalizing Allah. It thinks Allah belongs to him alone. No. If it is God, you think that God belongs to you alone. No. It belongs to everybody. Even the all other things that exist with us on the earth belongs to God. And you must be good to all these things. So these are what we should be able to know, that, oh, we should be fair to ourselves. There will be justice on the surface of the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that he gave us three things, three endowments, and he forbid us from three endowments. And Adil is number one. Be just. What you can allow to do to the other, what you can allow to be done to you, must what you should do to others. That's number one. Number two, Al-Ihsan, which is kindness. Kindness is a level above justice. When you have done the needful, and somebody is now doing you something bad, then be able to do good to the person, so that you wipe off his own bad deeds, so that you replace it with the good deeds, and it will be a very good place to live. And the third one is, be kind to the kids and kin. Give to the kids and kin what their responsibilities are from you. So you don't meet anybody there because you're a Christian, I'm not going to carry you in my bus. What do you mean? Oh, because you're a Muslim, I'm not going to... What do you mean? Oh, because you are poor, you don't belong to humanity. What do you mean? So what you should know is that everything that Allah has given to us in mineral resources, in natural resources, are to be used by human resources that he has created. And we must use it well and justifiably, if fairly, and we must create unity amongst ourselves so that we have a peaceful coexistence amongst ourselves.
Okay, all right. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much, sir. So, now, how then do we reconcile religious doctrines that may seem exclusive with the universal message of love and humanity that most religions teach? Many Muslims will tell you, yeah, Islam is the only religion to our path to Allah. Christians will only tell you that they actually don't believe in whatsoever. There is no way I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one cometh unto the Father except through me. And even different ones like that, the Jews will tell you that they are the chosen nation, the only one of God, and things like that. So if you are not a Jew, you are a Goyim, you are a Gentile, and for that reason, salvation only belongs to the Jews and things like that. So by the time we talk about some of these, religious doctrines that tend to place some specialty or exclusivity on its adherents, how then can we now talk about the universal message of love and humanity when we have some of these differences among the religions?
The act of universality, I've told you, is in versatility. So if you remove uni from versatility, from universality, you have versatility.
Yes.
Is that not it?
Absolutely.
Just write it down. Write universality. I remove uni from universality. You have versatility. So when you now see that, it means that uni is making it general. I don't know if I'm making it. I mean, when you say unit,
yes,
it's like
yes. I understand,
Yes, sir. So it's making it general. So the aspect of love, love is absolutely humane. So when you want to be a human being, you should make sure that what you do is make sure that everybody belongs to you. Love doesn't have a face. Love is emotional. Every human is created with emotions. But before you go into the emotional aspect of love, you have to know about instincts. Instincts in human beings are like 16 type of instincts, and the instincts belong to everybody, both male and female. So what are you virtually saying when you are saying that, oh no, I don't love you because you are a Christian, you are not going to see the kingdom of heaven. Because you are a Muslim, you are not going to see the kingdom of heaven. Who told you that God is not going to be merciful with everybody? After even telling the Muslim that he is most merciful and he is the most compassionate. After even telling the Christian that, Jesus said that you cannot get on the Lord except you go through me. That is about anointment. It doesn't say, it's not saying about the mercy of God and his compassionate ability. Just about what? About the anointment that Jesus had. And he was talking then about the people, about those that were living during his time. Later, he told them in Deuteronomy verse 18 that there is going to be a pillar that's going to come after me. And they didn't get it, that it's God talking about Islam. So, there and then, the Muslims were ordered in Quran chapter 2, verse 286, that all of the prophets and all the books are but one. You must not differentiate between them. So, why does a Muslim now come and say that Christian is not going to be in heaven or that Jew is not going to be in heaven? You cannot determine that as a human being. Only God can determine that and make that work. So, what are you talking about? It is lack of understanding that makes people arrogate the power of ascending to heaven to themselves. It doesn't belong to anybody. More so, we now are sinners. And we can only get our sins expiated after forgiveness by Allah. And after forgiveness, He will be merciful with us and He will be kind and favor us. So this is what we know. The same thing a Christian will say in the church. So because there is no versatility, they cannot now put the uni into the versatility to name it as universality. I don't know if you are getting it.
So I understand,
This is where we were wrong. And this is where we need to get back ourselves. We need to get ourselves back online and make sure the world is a better place to live. Leave judgment to God. You only need accountability. So how he judges you after your accounting in his sight on the day of judgment lives with him, not through you, and not through any human being, no matter how high elated he is. Even the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Hasibu anfusakum, he said, assess yourselves before you are being called to accountability. Assess yourself that have I done it well, because you are being called to assessment. So this is it. And you must understand all these things before you can come out and say, this is what I'm saying.
Okay. So, Jazakallah Khairan, thank you very much, Sheikh. I will go on a short break now. When we come back, it will be time for all of our listeners to also be part of the discuss. So we'll go on a short break when we return. The program continues. Please stay with us.
When you feel all alone in this world, and there's nobody to count your tears, just remember no matter where you are, Allah knows. Allah knows. When you're carrying a monster load, and you wonder how far you can go, with every step on that road that you take, Allah knows. Allah knows. Allah knows.
life has barely begun. You can walk on the moon, shout it to everyone. Allah knows, Allah knows. When you gaze with love in your eyes, catch a glimpse of paradise, and you see your child take the first breath of life. Allah knows.
Listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7, and we are discussing embracing humanity through religion. And our guest is Sheikh Abdulrahman Adangba, who is a Muslim cleric and Imam at Adangba Central Mosque in Idemo, Alamosha, local government area of Lagos State, a married counselor, a public analyst on television and radio, as well as the publicity ambassador for Heavenly World Propagation of Light, headquartered in Seoul, South Korea. All right, so you can be a part of this discuss by calling the number 07000-917-917. That is 07000-917-917. You can also send a message to us via SMS or WhatsApp on 0703-175-6537. That is 0703-175-6537. All right, yeah, Sheikh. Looking at the fact that many societies today now are actually going secular, that is, they feel like religion has nothing to play to do as far as the living in the society or the conduct of the affairs of the society is concerned. Everything about religion should be restricted to the religious houses, in the mosques, the churches, the synagogues. So how can, if we now have such society, how can religious values contribute positively to the public discourse on humanity, ethics, and community building?
Thank you so much. God bless you. My own answer to that question is a question. How did you get here? Is there a manual guiding your getting here? If really you don't know how you get here, then there is definitely a creator that created everything that's happened. Even when you call it nature, it's not nature. Something controls the nature.
Absolutely.
So the moment you understand that perception, then you'll be able to live with, how do I get to what created this nature? How do I align myself with it? You can only do that by understanding what is called divinity. And divinity cannot be understood except there is a path to divinity. So path to divinity is either Christianity, Judaism, or Islam now. The atheist who does not believe in God believe that there's something existing, and they just give it a name. But that is mischief, because definitely, what is that thing existing, and how you do you cling yourself or attach yourself to that being? So that supreme being is called God.
Okay.
When you say secularism is a state where you separate divinity out of human existence. Divinity and naturality. Divinity is naturality. Naturality is divinity. So, but when you say secular, the word is aberration is even small, a misplacement of priority. Why is it aberration? Is that you know that thing exists, but you don't even want to believe it. You want to play it at the back, at the last row, or the fifth generation, or whatever. But when you say misplacement of priority, is that you don't even know what you are doing in this world. You don't even know where you belong, and you must belong.
Okay.
So there's nothing like secularism, or secularity, or secular existence. No, nothing like that. So one becomes a thief to the deity that creates the world. When you say you want to get him out of your existence, do you even know how you sleep and wake up? What made you sleep? What woke you up?
Wow.
If you start from there, you now ask me, without a battery in your body, what pumps your heart? That your heart now pumps the blood.
Nature.
What is nature? Nature emanates from something. So nature is not just an abstract thing that you can just pick anywhere. What is nature? Okay, if it is nature, why is everybody not like the same? Why are our faces different? Why is our color different? Why is our tongue different? Why is our structure different? Why is you have a lot of whys that you cannot exhaust. So it's today's nature. So therefore, if you come back to say, okay, I eat food. There are two passages in my chest, the lung and the esophagus. The two operate vis-a-vis existence. One gives you air, the other gives you food. Where does the air link to? If there is a mistake, you are choked by the food going through the lungs where you used to breathe, and then you know that something exists that controls it. you can see you are nobody. The least the Oyibo people can do, the world can do, is that they can create a robot that looks like a man, either a woman robot or a man robot. But there is something that they cannot do: the blood. Ask yourself, how does the blood come into your body? Why is your blood not reducing or exceeding the limit?
We have it flat on the line, Sheikh. Yes. Hello? Oh, I think we missed the call. So you can continue, sir.
The HBHS patients, those ones that we call sticklers, what happens to them that make their blood short? Then they say it is the marrows. What is in the marrows that is a plant? Is a machine that generates blood. So these are questions that you continue to ask, and you cannot find an end to it. If the Englishman or the woman that created that robot, that is male or female, can create blood, then they will be able to create humanity. But they can only create that robot. They cannot give blood. Whilst they cannot give life. If there's somebody that gives blood and gives life, then there's nothing like secularity. Or secularism.
Okay. So then, whether they accept it or not, now we understand that you cannot remove divinity from humanity. So, but in that regard, because it is still something that people now practice, which, like you said, is a misplacement of priority. So, how then do we make religion contribute positively to the discourse on humanity, looking at the fact that we live in this secular society? So, we're having another the call again. Hello? Hello? Okay. It seems to be
happening. How does it? You see, it has been explained by the Quran. I cannot believe that the verse now, but I know it is in chapter 9, when God says that let there be amongst you a path who will go out and learn amongst you, and they will come back to come and teach others what exactly manifests in their lives. One thing the religion will do is, for those of us who understand what religion is, moderately, not extremely, because we must understand that every religion has its fundamentals, which you call the foundation. Every religion is a fundamental thing that happens to existence. So if religionists are fundamentalists, yes, they are not extremists and they are not terrorists. So if you understand it that way, that is why the houses of God are there, to salvage and liberate people after emancipating them from ignorance.
Because we need to monitor and we need to run. Very quickly now.
That is the only way religion can act and bring people to life. Yeah.
Okay, sir. So now, you know that there are some common misconceptions about religion's role in the society. Can you probably share some of these misconceptions that people have about religion, and how can we challenge these misconceptions to show the potentials of religion in fostering a more humane world? Because people will tell you that because of the conflict that you have today, according to the religion, the Muslims are killing Christians, the Christians are killing Muslims, or the Jews are killing, this and that. They are people, you know. People will tell you that a lot of wars have been fought in the name of religion. So how then, on what basis would you now see that religion is actually fostering, humanity, or the fostering a situation where people embrace their humanity regardless of the religious, linings or how will I put it, beliefs. So share some of this very quickly, sir, because we want to manage.
Let me just tell you one thing. Misconception is not in religion alone; it's in everything. When you don't understand the language of any other person, you misconstrue what he says.
Absolutely.
So the misconception is in everything. You see, this is why there is a difference between knowledge and ignorance. And in knowledge, you have two aspects, education and learning. So if education and learning are not combined in knowledge, then that person is a knowledgeable illiterate. So the only thing that we have to correct is the ignorance of understanding. There is ignorance on its own, but there is ignorance of understanding. Even you say you understand, you can read it, you can see it, but you still don't understand what it's trying to teach you. So if there is ignorance of understanding in what you are teaching, and you have not learned from experience, then you are a bad person to that religion itself. So the ambassadors of religion are those that cause chaos to religion. And until we identify them, we will not be able to convince others that religion is a good thing to practice, because those who are really known as religionists are the culprits of misconception. And they are the culprits of bastardization. So, many of them have turned Orientalists. Orientalists are people who will change things from the normal form to another form without the person looking at it understanding that it has been changed. We are able to attend to those people and let people know the real men of God from the fake men of God, and the fake men of God are about 90 out of 100 now.
Good morning. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Good morning, sir. Hello, alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me, sir?
All right, we can hear you now loud and clear. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Alhamdulillah, my name is Mahmoud. I want to appreciate the MPAC and the presenter and all that made this program to be possible. And I also want to thank our Imam for sharing his wealth of knowledge with us. But I just want to say this, for the purpose of you know, our listeners, you know, the fear of, you know, multiple interpretation to what Mama have just said now in the areas of, you know, not auditing powers to ourselves in judging people. It is taken in, though it is taken in, but in the areas of, yes, my fear is for those, these two categories of people. You know, the Muslims that are not that strong, the weak Muslims, in faith now, and those that are looking for, you know, the true religion of God. So I want our young to please help us emphasize the position of Islam, or let me say, God's intention for human as to religion, Islam, being the only religion that is acceptable, even though we know that we are not to give powers of judgment to ourselves, who to enter into the paradise and empire solely lies in the hand of Almighty Allah. But we need to, you know, set the record straight. So for those the true salvation seekers will not be confused as to which religion is, you know, is going to be acceptable in the sight of Almighty Allah. And for the weak Muslims to be rightly guided, I want the Imam to help us emphasize on those points to lead people.
No, let me just come in in a very simple manner.
Yes, sir.
Before you call yourself a religionist, what must you first have? Iman. Iman is a gain. Something that you don't see.
Yes.
Something. What you do, you say the kalma, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you are a Muslim. So what do you first have?
Yes.
What do you first have before you now have to take iman of the kalma? Is submission. And what is submission? Taslim. What is taslim? Islam. If the Quran, if the Quran now says that, okay, in akramakum in the last, akramakum, the first verse of you, in that verse that you read is the one who is pious. What is piety there? Piety is submission. And let me tell you, let me categorically and emphatically say this. In this era of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everybody is a Muslim. Except those who say no.
Okay, Islam.
Because the book, Quran, it encompasses what is taught in the Torah, what is taught in the Injil, and what is taught in the Zabur. Historically, Islam.
I want us to go historical because we don't have it.
Oh, okay, let me just tell you something. From Adam to Moses to Jesus, there are only 15 rules. 15 rules for mankind. And when Muhammad came, 10 rules were added, making 25. You find these 25 rules in chapter 17, verse 22 to 38. You find all those 25 rules there. The same thing you find 10 of it in the Old Testament, and you find 5 plus in the New Testament. And you add these two together, it's 15. You now add 10 in the Quran, makes it 25. That is about humanity. So if Allah now says Islam is the only accepted religion, he just wants the unification of religion all over the world. That is the intention of Allah. That what Islam teaches is what Christianity must teach, is what Judaism must teach. That is what do they teach? They teach the welfareism of humanity. That's all.
Yeah. Believe in God and take care of
God. Believe in God and do good to others.
Okay. Thank you very much. We have just about 3 minutes to go. All right. So, Imam, very quickly, because of young people who are actually the future of religious communities, so how do we engage the younger generation in conversations about faith and humanity? And how do you put in a lot less?
Create a usra in your place of abode where you live, or in your place of work where you live. Allow question and answers, and bring somebody who is very forthright and very, very capable of answering those questions vis-a-vis the understanding of men of nowadays. We call something in Islam or in Arabic language or in Islamic teaching as They call it stylistics and modernity. Go okay. through what they know to teach them what they must know. You don't need to be hard on them, but you can go the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went at the beginning of his da'wah by making people understand the religion by a simple explanation. So this is the way we are. But not where you call you say this one is a kafir, this one is this one is that. You go to the extreme. That is not accepted. So when you create an where you meet together and discuss, then it is easier for those young ones to understand the religion perfectly and perfectly well.
All right. So on a final note here, Imam, so for those who actually want to make a difference, so what practical steps can they take to embrace humanity through their religious beliefs in everyday life? And probably you can recommend one or two actions and practices that they can engage in.
There are two things that humans need. Everybody on every field must know this. You must know what is psychology. You must know what is physiology. This will tell you about humanity. How many types and faces of human do we have? And how do we deal with them? These are their temperaments, which is 4 by 4 by 16. So, and you have to know the instincts of humanity. You have to be versatile about it. You have to know how to approach each individual with what they understand. And you bring them to the table, and none of them will be saying the same thing. This is where we need scholars who are very, very learned and who are ready to walk in the cause of Allah with all the knowledge and all the tricks and the ways and manners to let people understand God by not imposing yourself on them and by not personalizing God himself.
All right. So, Jazakumullah khairan, ya Imam. It's been a wonderful time out with you today. So, inshallah, this is how far we'll be able to go with our interactive session with our Imam. I'd like to appreciate you for taking out time. We can understand probably there is a lot of traffic, it's a lot of issues, but you still have, assisted and tried to actually connect with us virtually. Jazakumullah khairan. I would also like to appreciate you, all our listeners, and to all those who actually tried to call in, but because of one reason or another, we were unable to pick your calls. Jazakumullah khairan. We know we do this and we come in because we know you are there. We appreciate you all. So you can listen to again to this episode or other previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org, mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on the MPAC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media, Facebook, Everyday Muslim.
When you find that special someone, feel your whole life has barely begun. You can walk on the moon, shout it to everyone, Allah.